Hello and welcome to the Essex League Cricketer Podcast, episode 6, with me, Billy Roan and Alfie Taylor, as one reviewer described the high school dropouts. And then, as he also said, every good podcast needs a village idiot. Phil Marsh, how you doing, mate?
I'm good, Bill. I don't know whether to be offended or not, really.
It was a five-star review, worse. Mate. It weren't during it was that fella who slagged you off in the 2020 finals day.
I don't know.
He's mugged you right off again, Phil.
It must be. He's just taking advantage of my good nature, isn't he, really?
Yeah. He's trolling you, mate. I think that's what's called trolling in the trade.
Is it?
Yeah. Or mugging you right off.
Mugging you off, Sam.
Right, lads, only one place to start. The Ashes have gone. Yeah. Well, we never had them actually, but
no,
we haven't gotten back.
We had some false hope, didn't we? Yeah, a real sad day for English cricket.
We're gonna pick the bones out of it, aren't we? Like we always do.
Where do you start? Go on, you start us off.
Well, I'll start off. Australia were the better team.
Yeah.
We have no batting. Can't score a ton. I mean, where else should we go with it?
Craig Overton.
Well, listen. You can look at I don't know whether they're positives, but you can just say that the difference was Steve Smith and Pat Cummins. Pat Cummins is their best bowler. He bowled better than our best bowler. Although Broad has bowled really well this series, and Steve Smith has destroyed all our batting. Really, you know, I think I read this morning that. He's got to get a triple 100 at the Oval, and then he beats Don Bradman's record for the most amount of runs in a series, and you wouldn't back against him, to be honest.
No, his record at the Oval is pretty good as well. I think the only two times he's batted there in Ashes cricket, he's scored hundreds. So, yeah, I'm backing him in.
But, yeah, I mean, listen, as I said, they were the better team. They've had the better in most of the games, other than the one game we've won. Monumental innings from Ben Stokes. They obviously won at Edgbaston, had the upper hand at Lords, and I think they were ever going to lose that game. And then outplayed us totally at Old Trafford. Although we did show a bit of fight the last two games, we've shown a bit of fight. When we have lost Test matches in the past, we've been absolutely destroyed. You know, we were a half hour away from potentially drawing this game, which would have been almost as good as the Ben Stokes win, but it weren't to be.
You have to show a bit of fight, didn't you? If you've got the whole nation behind you and you saw what it can do, you can create a hero out of someone like Jack Leach. If you can't do it then, when are you ever going to do it?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I was disappointed with that first day, Old Trafford. I thought after that win, you just take that momentum in and they just looked really lacklustre. Weather conditions didn't help. You called it, Phil. It was winter conditions up in Manchester.
Snowing first day.
Yeah.
It was that cold. Joffre Archer couldn't get into the 80s for 50% of his balls.
Well, he's from Barbados. He was wearing four jumpers. His fingers were cold. But it was pretty shit, really, wasn't it?
So the question is, where do England go now? Obviously, Bayliss will be leaving after this test match. You know, we have got to say they can still draw the series.
I don't get this whole Ashes is lost thing. Yes, we're not going to have that £3.99 earn from the Lord's shop, but if it's 2-2, the Aussies are not going to want that, surely.
No, of course not. I mean, you have got the test championship as well, so there's points to play for.
Does anyone care about that?
Well, no, not really. But yeah, it's cool. Says you don't want to lose a series at home. You want to try and draw the series. And if you draw the series, that's an unbelievable result, with all things taken into account.
Yeah, but let's be honest though, that the Oval is more suited to them out of any of the pitches that we've played on.
Well, I think it's up to the groundsmen to get their fingers out and start preparing some pitches in our favour. You could say it's going to help Australian bowlers as well, but in all fairness, I think it's going to be more of an even match if we prepare a pitch that does a little bit rather than a flat wicket for Steve Smith to go and get 400 on.
I'd like to watch it though.
Would you? Yeah. I'm not watching Steve Smith for 2 days, mate. Get 400. I've had enough of him. I'm done.
Is it fair to say that they're better on the field and they're better looking side than ours as well?
I don't know, Phil. What do you reckon about that, mate?
Better looking?
Yeah, you don't really go for that sort of stuff up north, do you? You don't really appreciate people's looks up north.
No mirrors up there.
We're just, we're very comfortable in our sexuality up north. Billy Alf, we can say if somebody's handsome or not.
Who's the most handsome player in the England team?
It's Josh Butler, obviously, isn't it? When he talks with silky ease, you know, he sounds to us Northerners. We just want to shine his shoes and assist him really with his day.
Do you find a lisp silky?
I don't know, mate. I don't weigh people up on how they look, Phil.
I actually think in the England side, the best looking bloke is, there's a couple that aren't playing, but the best looking bloke is Jack Leach.
Yeah. I'd go along with that. He's got nice blue eyes, isn't he?
He's got you covered, Phil, anyway. And in the Australian side, Pat Cummins, fucking hell, his eyes. Yeah. Mesmerising. Don't you think, Phil?
Good head of hair as well.
I'm just going to refrain from commenting on bloke's eyes, Alf.
Well, I thought you were comfortable. Obviously not.
Not that comfortable, mate.
Phil, who's the next coach of England going to be?
Ryan Higgins.
I want one name now.
Well, I said Jason Gillespie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Alf?
Won't be him. It's going to be Silverwood, isn't it?
Yeah, I think what the issue is in this day and age, a lot of the best coaches, a lot of the best young coaches now, they're chasing franchise contracts. That's where the money is. They don't have to. They play or they manage teams for 2 months at a time. Go back home, get another contract in the Caribbean, India, England. I think the best young coaches. That's the way they're going to be heading.
Also, the we've got to get away from having one coach for all formats. I mean, those blokes are on the road for what? You said it, Bill. 300 and, well, pretty much most of the year. And they have families too. I mean, Bayliss, yeah, people can slag Bayliss off, whatever, but to be on the road for that amount of time, it must drive you insane.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to name the candidates now that I think are in the frame. Obviously, Silverwood, with the other people in the setup, Collingwood and Thorpe. And then you've got Mickey Arthur, who's a proven international coach, Pakistan, South Africa, took them to number one, done really good things with Pakistan, told Shane Watson do his own work and then got sacked from Australia. Gary Kirsten, Andrew McDonald, I think falls into that bracket. I'd like him, but I think he falls into that bracket of wanting to coach franchises across the world. Gary Kirsten, he's been in charge of RCB, the Bangalore Challengers in India, and they've failed every year in the IPL, have the best players, but never seem to be in the round the finals. So I think the top two candidates, obviously forgetting Jason Gillespie as well. But yeah, I think Gillespie, Mickey Arthur, Chris Silverwood are the top three candidates.
Yeah, I think you've obviously done your homework. Phil, did you have those written down?
I went into Bet365, mate, and looked at the odds. But yeah, I think.
Do you think the coach is the most of our worries here? Do you think? Obviously he's finished. Well, he's finished, isn't he? So, but
yeah, but Bayliss was brought in to improve one day cricket.
Yeah,
now,
which he's done.
Now I think a coach has to come in who's a longer format coach, which Mickey Arthur, Jason Gillespie, they are. Silverwood won the championship with Essex. Quite inexperienced, but. I think
whoever it is, Bill, who comes in, I think they've got to, as I mentioned yesterday, I think they've got to rebuild, and to a certain extent, I think they've got to try and bring some youth through, because that test side is looking really stale, isn't it?
It's a good point,
really
Phil.
Long series do that to to, they're under the microscope, aren't they? And five tests, you expose some, you expose everything, don't you? I mean, if it was the other way around, you look at Australia, if they didn't have Smith and, well, you say you didn't have Smith and Cummins, well, Smith really, and you look at guys like Warner, even like Head, Wade, they haven't exactly pain, they haven't smashed it. So they would be under the microscope too, and then they'd be looking at their...
Oh, Alf, 100%. I think you take Steve Smith out of this and Australia haven't won it. But in the same breath, our bowling attack has been that good. I think it's kind of hidden a little bit of the fact that the batsmen have... I mean, look, it's plain to see the batsmen haven't been that great for us, but the bowlers have bailed us out is what I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, the batting's been absolutely disgraceful, I think, to be honest with you. But apart from Ben Stokes's innings in the third test, there's been no backbone, no grit, no determination.
What would your advice be to Jason Roy in his next innings?
To be honest with you, I'd take him out the firing line now.
Yeah, that he's in the team, mate. He's been picked.
That's what I mean. But I would take him out the firing line. He wouldn't be in the team.
Yeah.
But if he isn't,
Sam Curran comes in for Roy.
No, I
mean joking, because Ben Stokes might not be able to bowl.
Say that again, Bill.
Ben Stokes, he's hurt his shoulder, so they basically picked the same squad for Friday's game. And there's no other batsman in there other than Sam Curran.
That's all right. Overton will be effective on the oval.
And yeah, he'll be in there.
This is what I'm saying. I mean, we're almost joking about it, aren't we? You know how bad the situation is, how dire. I think Sam Curran should have been brought in last test, Bill. I agree with you, mate. Jason Roy needs to be out of the firing line now because if he has two rubbish innings now, it's just, you know, I don't think there's any coming back from that for him in terms of tests.
He needed to be given this series, I think. He's had one game being dropped down to four or five. You know, you need to give him a bit more time, well, at least one more game just to see where his head's at. But from watching him play at Old Trafford, I've never seen a guy other than you against spin who has worked so hard to not attack the ball. He's fighting.
He's bottom hand. He's gripping that bat so hard.
He's. I don't know if any of you watch Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
Yes.
When Arthur was gripping that that chair so hard
he snapped the leg off in
Tommy Shelby's office. He was off. And that's the same with Roy. He's fighting himself to not attack that ball. It's just not a natural thing for him.
I'd have actually said that he was gripping it tighter than Ted Bundy, but no, I like your...
So therefore, Bill, that tells you all you need to know
then, doesn't it? Exactly. And I just think that going back to your point, the selectors need to be accountable for this. They've had a shocking summer. I mean, going back to the opening situation, has it been resolved for... since they've been in charge, the team they picked for Ireland, they should have picked a full-strength test team. Moeen Ali being selected once again, he wasn't right for selection at the start of the summer. You know, the batting order has been all over the place, putting Root at three only masks the fact that we need to find a number three, but we also need to find a number four. Where Root bats is irrelevant at the moment because
he's in at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. 3-4. It doesn't hide the fact we need to find another top order batsman.
Do you think Billy or Phil that he should keep the captaincy?
It's hard to say because you need to gauge. He looks shot to me. But you need to gauge where his head's at, and if he's still got the fire in his belly to captain that side, and he's still adamant that it doesn't affect his batting, then yeah, he keeps it purely on the basis there's no one else. The only other guy who could possibly do it
again,
he's Ben Stokes, yeah. But you'd have to gauge what his mindset is like.
I actually think that Rory Burns deserves, at least to have his name thrown in the mix. I think.
But it's a month ago. He wasn't a dead cert in the side.
No, but then he is a dead cert now for the next however long he can stay fit because there's no one else.
Yeah.
And he has captained Surrey well. and he does seem to have the respect. So I actually think that's another name that you can throw into it. I think it's harsh that Ben Stokes, as much as everyone calls for it, should be captain. I just don't think he
needs but that's up to him, though. Like I said, hard to say who's going to... who we would have as captain, because we're not around these players.
No,
we're
exactly.
not around these
we can
players.
Only speculate.
He could revel in something like that. He's a sort of player. Yeah, you could say he's got a bowl, he's got a bat, he's got a captain. But there ain't any other people, ain't many other people in the world that have won that Test match in Headingley. So if anyone could do it, Ben Stokes can do it.
No, but he's won that without the captaincy, but, hasn't he?
Look at club cricket. When you take, I mean, we've all been captains, haven't we? When you take, I know it's different.
You've been
don't
captain.
Get me wrong.
Shit, you ain't captain of Seinfeld, have you?
Yeah, two years, mate. Sinking got promoted ship. First season. You know what I mean? But anyway, that's my point. Being obviously, it's a very different kettle of fish, isn't it? But you still know
just a little
when
bit
you're
Phil,
captain,
yeah.
you don't end up. You don't. I never bowl as well. I never bowl myself as much. I never batted as high up the order as I would do if I wasn't captain. You think about, you spend all your time in the field with your head on a swivel looking at everybody else. It's very distracting and it takes you off your game and you almost take a step back. Now, obviously, that's club cricket. I'm not on about international cricket. You still have to,
no, it's
you
the
still
same,
have to
mate.
Do your normal job.
It is the same. The concept is the same. That you've got Ben Stokes, who's your best fielder.
You might ruin him.
He's pretty much our best batsman at the moment. And he's the guy that everyone looks to for inspiration. And yes, they are the qualities that you need as a captain, but...
He's got the admiration of everyone in that squad as well.
He does. I just don't think you need to burden him.
I would go the opposite, Phil, to what you said, where it makes you a worse player. I mean, like I said, we've all captained. I've captained. I've done Sundays where no one's wanted to be there. Yeah, it's a cup game against, you know, some village outfit. No one's wanted to be there. I'm pumped though, you know. I'm going out there and batting because I want to win the game. I'm the only one though.
It affects people differently, Bill. I'm in agreement with you. Some people that they kind of excel in that position, but I would argue that it's more the other. That there are a few who will excel in it, but more people get affected negatively than positively by being captain in terms of their performance. You look at people's averages, they go down. You look at the amount of bowling they do, it goes down.
I reckon it goes the opposite way.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, maybe we're just looking at the best captains because the guys aren't any good. They don't do it for that long, do they? But even people like Pete Peterson, who wasn't our best captain by a long way for England, his average went up.
He did one game though, didn't he?
Went
100,
up.
Didn't he? Against South Africa.
He did. It went up though, Bill, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
I don't know. It affects people in different ways.
Strauss.
But what we can surmise is we don't have anybody who stands out. We're trying to manufacture a captain, aren't we? In this discussion, we're not saying that. Oh, it should definitely be. I mean, you're talking about Rory Burns. He's only had four tests. But I agree with you, Alf. I reckon another 400 or 500 runs. Or 300-400 runs, then yeah, I think he's in for a shout, no doubt. But
that's
I think
how
he's too early in the side.
That's how the international game works, though, Phil. You have to learn whilst playing international cricket. You look at Ben Stokes, since he's come in England side in the, I don't know what Ashes it was when Mitchell Johnson bombed us, he's probably played maybe 10 first-class games for Durham. He's learnt all his cricket in the international game. Joe Root's the same.
Graham Smith, who's quite similar to Burns in terms of technique, he was, what, 19, 20?
Yeah, but he just oozes authority, Graham Smith. He's one of my favourite players.
He's a natural leader,
he's just a leader.
He?
South Africans are just made.
He's got an amazing
all
chest.
South Africans are just leaders, aren't they? You know, they're born leaders. Joe Root will end up keeping the captaincy, but what I want to ask you, Phil, is what's the next England team going to be for that first Test match at New Zealand? I want to hear your 1 to 11 right now. Give it to me.
Well, I'd open with Rory Burns and Sibley.
Sibley? You're picking Sibley, eh?
Sibley is getting thrown straight in because I think he's deserved it. I mean, he's just got his average has just gone over 60, hasn't it, for the for the season.
Number three, Phil.
Number three. Well, your best player should bat at number three, arguably, shouldn't they? So I'm probably going to put Root at three because, as you've said, at the moment it's no difference to him. He's going in. He may as well open the bloody batting.
Captain? Is he captain?
For now, yeah. I wouldn't strip I wouldn't take the captaincy off him just yet, because people can have a bad series, and it, do you know what? It could galvanise them and they come out twice as strong because they learn from the experience. Four. So four, Jeffrey Boycott.
Sir Jeffrey Boycott.
Sir Jeffrey Boycott. I think he's had a, fantastic. Number four. That's
what were you going to say? He's had a fantastic.
Say that, Phil.
He's had a fantastic series, Jeffrey. From a commentary perspective, so he's back in the sat. No,
he's a miserable coffin dodger.
Is he? Has he been beating down the door? Is he?
Yeah. Well, he's been beating something, hasn't he, over the years? But no. Number four is a difficult one for me, really. I think either three and four are both difficult. I don't really know. Who's, because I would, Denley would go for me. I think we've seen enough of Denley. I know he's
not done enough.
He's got one more game. If he gets 150 and we win
Gets 150, is he at the moment?
I don't think he's good enough. I'd probably bring in Ollie Pope and shuggle around the top four.
And he bats at four.
I don't know. We'd have to look at the top five. Four, wouldn't you? Five, I'm bringing in Folks.
It's about five.
Mate.
We're having a proper keeper.
Is he batting five?
Is he at five?
He's not Bairstow's going in at five. Then we're having five. Number six, we're having Ben Stokes.
Yeah.
Then we're having Folks. Yep. Then we're having Curran. Then Anderson. He's fit again, but he's not batting at that number of the team.
Anderson's at nine, right?
Because he can't bat.
And then Broad, does he stay in the team?
Broad stays in the team, and Wokes.
And Wokes, no, so you're leaving out Leach and Archer.
Yeah, we're having Archer's in there, no spinner.
Leach and Archer are gone.
Archer's in there, mate. Archer's in there.
What number is he carrying in?
The drinks?
He's number 11, isn't he?
You had Sam Curran at 8, you had Anderson at 9, you had Broad at 10, and Wokes at 11.
Well, obviously, Folks has been dropped now. Folks has been dropped.
Oh, Folks is
gone. Proper keeper in.
Right, so he's gone.
And Archer comes in
at 7.
Yes.
And
Ali's got the first stint of 10 overs and square leg umpiring.
And Denley's your spinner, Phil, yeah?
No, Denley's not on the side, is he? His spinner
Joe Root's bowling spin.
All
right, well, I think the New Zealand groundsmen are going to be preparing some dry wickets now. Phil's taking his... you taking a spinner on tour, Phil?
I'll take Leach just for banter.
For the birds.
Yeah. For what it's worth, Phil, I'm going to give you my lineup. I actually did do a little bit of... I actually wrote mine down. I'm going with Burns, and I'm going with either Crawley or Sibley. I've not seen much of either of them, but they seem to be the two outstanding openers. I'm going for... If Denley has a good game at the Oval, I'm going for him at three, purely because... there's not many other people there, and I think he's starting to show a little bit at this level. But he has to have a good game at the Oval. If he don't, I don't know who I'm going to put at three. Root bats at four, and he captains for the time being. I just think dropping him down that one position makes him a bit more happier. He's tried batting at three, hasn't quite worked. Ollie Pope, for me, comes in at five. Averaging just over 60 in test match cricket. Looks like he's got good mindset, good attitude for the longer format as well. Ben Stokes at six for me. Picks himself, drops down that one position. You can put Stokes or Pope five and six. Doesn't bother me too much. Ben Folks to keep wicket. You know, proper test match cricketer, proper keeper. Proven again, mindset, attitude that he suits the longer format. Joffa Archer, eight. Jack Leach,
not Anderson.
Nine. Anderson drops down to 11 for me, if fit.
Tough call.
And I've left out Butler and Bairstow. I think Bairstow's record speaks for itself. His keeping doesn't keep him in the side. He's batting. Purely as a batsman, has not been good enough over the last 2 years. He's living off one outstanding year he had where he averaged 60-70. Since then, the way he's been getting out, the frenetic nature of him at the crease. You know, it goes back to the what we said in the last podcast. England have got to look towards playing that longer format. Look to pick Test match cricketers. And Bairstow, for me, even though he's got all the talent in the world, his head's not screwed on at the moment. You know, and the only position I can get him in the side is at four, just purely as a batsman. You need to take the gloves off him now. And do what they've done with him in the one-day game. He doesn't keep wicket there. He scores 100 for fun. And then Butler, like I said before, the one-day, the experiment needs to be put on ice. Until we find a top three that are solid enough to give us a platform for Butler to come in at, say, 300 for five, he's a luxury player we can't afford to have in that team, especially not keeping wicket as well.
Yeah. Well, no. I'm glad you did your homework. Yeah. Well, now that we've bored everyone to death.
Phil, did you fall asleep
there? Because I fucking lost interest.
That's the only bit of seriousness we got in this podcast.
Yeah, and it was too serious. What do we think about Smith taking a piss out of Leach and then coming out in the... I think Langer came out in a press conference and said that they were taking the piss out of Chris Rogers. What do you think, Phil? Did you see that?
I don't think it matters. Look, if they want to take the piss out of somebody, let them take the piss out of somebody. They've been under a lot of pressure. They've been in England, and they've come out on top. If anybody can take the piss, it's Steve Smith. Do I think it's right to do it after the game or not? I don't know. I mean, I'd have been doing it during the game, to be honest with you.
He should have called for the bins.
Yeah, he should have stuck the bins on when he was batting with his dick on about 205 just for a laugh. But
in all fairness, Archer did mug him off in the nets, didn't he? When he was taking a piss out of his leaves. So
yeah, you know, at the end of the day, it's the Ashes. There's going to be a bit of piss taken. I'm sure they're all in the bar having a drink afterwards. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. Cricket's like that, isn't it? It is a sort of...
I don't think Steve Smith is in the bar. I think he's shadow batting in his hotel room with a bar of dairy milk.
Do you not reckon he has a drink? Do you reckon he's one of those super focused professionals?
I reckon. Probably a light beer. I don't know. Maybe an Umbongo. Fruit shoot.
Yeah.
Something like that. He doesn't strike me as the type that... although he was pictured having a beer in the US, wasn't he?
Or half a lager top. A non-alcoholic lager top.
Have you ever had a lager top, Philip?
Regularly, if you're driving, Alf, of course.
Oh, well, that brings the units down, does it? That little dash of lemonade brings the units down.
Yeah. Obviously, just your single beer with a lager top you drive, of course. But no, I don't see anything wrong with it. If anything, I think it's been too gentle. There should have been a lot more abuse.
You raise a brilliant point there, Phil. If he called for the bins when he got his double 100 and started batting left-handed and not one into the leg side, I think that would have been Test cricket completed, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
He probably could do that as well, to be fair.
Yeah.
Off over.
It would have.
Yeah.
But I think Steve Smith has just been, he's just an unnatural phenomenon. I don't think you can judge Root's captaincy simply because he's come up against somebody who's averaging 160.
I don't know, Phil. I mean, listen, 40 for 4, very slim chance that we're going to bowl them out, but there was a chance. After tea, he's opened the bowling with Leach and Overton. I can't believe that. Like, Archer's, for the first time, is wound up. Yeah, he's rocked Travis Head, or Travis Head has put him through the covers. He's chirped him. Next ball, he's bowled a 92-mile-an-hour full ball through the gate, beating for pace, sent him off. Then he's chirped Wade.
But these guys, like Broad's in that side, he has a say in all of this. He must... it can't just be Root whose shoulders this is on. There's old enough players in that team for... to get that right. But anyway, we've talked enough about that shit. Phil, how did your cricket season finish up?
Well, it's got another game yet, mate.
What?
Another game.
Was it indoor?
No, we're playing at home.
What, a league game?
A league game, mate, yeah. It goes on until now. Obviously, the weather being a bit warmer up here, we can stretch that far. But no, I don't know why, mate. It's just that we've not finished like last week.
You're fighting for that place in the Nationals side, aren't you, Phil?
Well, I think that's been picked. I batted at the weekend. I went out to bat looked at, stood at the other end, batting at four, watched somebody hit three balls and didn't face the ball and went back to the pavilion. Knocked him off, bowled some side out for 103, I think. So my mate got 60-odd and I got to stand at an end.
you'll be pleased to know I got 28 on the weekend, Phil.
Alf, yes! How did you get out?
Caught first slip.
Mate, what? Proper genuine
nip bat hit me in the glove, caught at first slip.
Phil, are you bowling these days?
No, mate.
No, that's gone, is it? Are you keeping wicket?
Any I bowled a little bit in the third team when I first joined this new club. But,
three paces.
Yeah, I didn't. I dropped an absolute dolly on Saturday as well.
Oh, you don't drop them?
Mate, I caught one in my belly. One was levered at me at mid-on and I caught it in my stomach and held it.
It's still there?
Yeah, proper slapped it straight into my tummy. And then one got looped up to me. And it's one of those ones that dips on you at the last minute.
Well, it dips on you if you drop it, mate.
I dive forward and tried to catch it in between my legs. It was just all a mess.
You tried to catch it between your legs? I think that's where you went wrong.
You know, I sort of slid forward on my knees, got my hand to it, and it went through my hand, hit me on the leg. Right. I'm just having a bit of a mare. I think I've got the yips.
Roll through the list of emotions that went through that next 30 seconds after you dropped that catch.
Well, I was pretty pissed off until my mate dropped a proper dolly at first slip.
And then you laid into it. Yeah, it's all fun and games, isn't it? Then yours is forgotten about. Every catcher slips hard, though, Phil.
No, the guy sort of like went to late cut it and just basically give him a practice slip catch. That's what he did, and he dropped it, so I didn't feel that bad.
It still sounds tougher than yours, mate.
Yeah, well, it was just like, we were playing on an absolute pudding. One end was kind of like tennis ball bounce, and the other end was coming through really low. It was really strange, and they just went out and tried to tee off, which probably wasn't the best tactic on that sort of deck. So they didn't last very long. So it's a bit of a wasted day, really. I was back at the club boozing it for about 5:30 in the afternoon and the evening.
What time did you finish up?
That doesn't sound like a waste of a day.
Well, we stayed at 4:00. We finished about 4:00. But we were miles away in the Cheshire County League. Like sometimes we played this side who were near Liverpool, and it's like an hour's drive. I mean, you're used to it in Essex, aren't you? To be fair, that's like a normal drive almost. But yeah, it's a long way away, like an hour back to get back, which kind of deflates you, doesn't it? Because you're excited that you've won the game and you just want to get back and have a beer. Yeah. But then you have to drive for an hour and concentrate down the motorway. It's just like it kind of deflates you a little bit.
Well, our game was over at 3:30 on Saturday. Brilliant.
What happened?
Well, we got beat. we needed 3 points at the start of the day. I don't know how many runs you got to get, but anyway, we got bowled out for 90, and they knocked it off for 3. Game over. Brilliant. A point.
How's the season going then? Are you going to stay?
It's gone,
up,
mate.
Or?
It's gone.
You stayed up.
We stayed up.
What's going on?
We stayed up. But yeah. Cricket. I'm so glad that it's over, honestly.
Well, just talking about end of season, Phil, you having a little send off for your overseas player? That's always the best night of the year when you send the overseas player off.
We haven't got one this year, Bill.
No? Oh, no, in your case, then it's not.
We haven't got one. You're not allowed overseas, traditional overseas in the county league. You can have like a county player.
Brexit.
Yeah, but you're not allowed a traditional overseas, as far as I know. I've certainly not played against one. Strange.
Alf, obviously I'm not about no more in Chingford. Any overseas?
We had an overseas player. And we gave him a good send-off on Saturday.
What time did he finish?
With our 1 point. I don't know, I left early, Bill, because I had a flight the next morning. But from what I hear, he was still there at 5 in the morning.
Yeah, we won't embarrass no one.
No, but... if you're listening, you know what you did. what are we?
Where was your flight to, Alf, the day after the end of the season? That's poor timing. Where were you going?
Switzerland. I was going to get euthanized, but I gave up. I came back. anyway, moving on. Did anyone see Peter Layla, the Australian cricket journalist, who was charged £55,000 for a beer at Old Trafford? Did you see that, Phil?
Well, he's a fucking good journalist, isn't he?
I know. Is that what he is?
Is that, yeah, there's a few things.
His parents must have left him some money or something. Who the hell has 55 grand slushing around?
That's how much a pint costs, though, in Sydney, after it. You spent some time there.
So,
how much is a pint? They don't do pints for a start, so how much is a schooner in Sydney?
Maybe
pushing 20 quid these days?
I don't know, I haven't been there in a while, but I'd say it was a good tenner for a pint when you were there before.
Standard
55k,
price.
Though, that's...
Yeah, it's punchy.
Well, that's our match fees down here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but 55k. So the ladies put the pint through the till.
Yeah.
At £55,000, who's noticed this error? Firstly,
she's got the shakes there, isn't she? She's typing in them zeros.
From what I heard, the barmaid actually laughed when she found out it was £55,000, and he wasn't amused.
So I'm guessing it's £5.50 a pint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then she's machine gunned the zero.
The G finger.
How'd you get that wrong?
Well, she obviously has, unless he's just made up that story for an elaborate sort of lie and a bit of an ego boost to tell everyone that he's got 55 grand in his...
Yeah, that's definitely a...
You'd have to be a particular twat.
Emphasis on twat. And he probably is.
So let's not waste that time.
No, let's not give him the airtime, dick. Right, well, moving on, Phil. We've actually had a few more questions in this week, believe it or not.
A couple of serious ones as well, actually.
Yeah, serious ones.
Don't expect a serious answer.
For the village idiot. We've got Tim from Portsmouth. Now the cricket season is over, what are we supposed to do with our Saturdays? Phil?
I think that's one for you two, actually, seeing as I haven't played cricket for the last 5 years, so I'm quite comfortable with my Saturdays now.
Billy, can you explain why you stopped playing cricket, firstly?
Just work-related, mate. Work-related.
Yeah, but why? You were all right for the first 10 years of your cricket life with work.
Just
why
busier, mate. Busier. Mortgages. All that sort of boring stuff, mate.
Have you got a house now?
I have, mate, yep. I'm a homeowner.
But you can play cricket next season then, can't you? Sorted.
Got to pay for that house, mate. I'm not like the journalist who's paid his house off. I would like to, mate. I did have a one-off game this year.
Did you? What, Sunday?
No, I played in a cricket week game.
Did you?
Yeah.
Is that helping Tim?
Got 70 though, mate, didn't I?
So we're talking about yourself.
Yeah.
70?
Yeah. So I'm averaging 70 this year.
What do you think Tim should do, Phil?
We finished talking about that.
No one cares about your fucking 70.
What do I think Tim should do? Right, what I'm going to do, and I can thoroughly recommend, don't go and watch your local League 2 football team because you'll just get depressed, all right? Don't bother with local football because it's shite. Watch the Premier League or nothing at all. Now, I know that sounds a horrible thing to say, but let's face it, the quality of football is
not many teams
very
around
poor.
There near him in Portsmouth. I think there's only two.
Well, yeah, you could go and watch Portsmouth. Shite. I won't go and watch the Alex because they're shite. I'd rather watch bloody TV. But no, Saturdays are for getting up, getting some breakfast in you, sorting the little one out if you've got one, sorting the missus out.
just define sorting the missus out.
I hope you don't mean like Jeffrey Boycott.
Agreeing to do something on the Sunday. So yes, we will go to the local Trafford Centre, Lakeside, wherever it is, and do some.
So what you're saying is that now that cricket season's over and everyone's other halves
you
have
still
waited
need
for this
your Saturday.
Saturday. Yeah.
Saturdays are for the boys. You still need your Saturday. So what you need to do early on in your Saturday is get hold of your missus and say, look, Saturdays are for the boys. You know, appreciate the family time in that, but we'll do that on Sunday, all right? What I'm going to do is sit here and put some bets on Bet365 and then watch the football so I can see how our aforementioned bets are performing.
I find it weird go on.
Once that's done, get yourself a takeaway ordered. Think about the pub.
What, 8 hours of betting?
I mean, it's I don't know how you sell that to your Mrs. Phil, that... Your day is going to consist of spunking your wages away on some ackers.
I'm glad you finished that.
And then getting a curry and then go to the pub.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's face it, this is the dream, isn't it, really? But no, it'll probably end up doing something with a little one. He'll probably, his missus will probably lose the plot. He'll end up having to go to down, then. Bounce out or you're whatever back. These trampoline
if,
places
if
are.
If you're
going to
give it, at least
to.
Stick by it. I actually, don't you think, what would you do, Alf, as a single man?
Yeah.
I'd spunk it all on going out shopping. No, I wouldn't. I've actually thought about this, and you wake up the first Saturday and you think the whole cricket season that you're going to have, these elaborate plans, and you're going to go away and you're going to, spend a weekend in Milan, or you're going to... When in reality, you wake up on that first Saturday and think, "What the fuck am I going to do about
pre-season starting?"
And you probably put some,
have a net.
Put some highlights on. No, I think that you should do. What's your name, Tim? Tim, I think you should do something cultural. Go to Kew Gardens. Go to the Tate. Go and sit in a coffee shop and watch the world go by. And because cricket is shit, isn't it? Really, let's be honest. We've all got to the end of the cricket season. I could go to Switzerland. Euthanasia is a thing, and that's the way I felt at the end of this cricket season. Go to Kew Gardens, mate.
Yeah, well, I've only been to Portsmouth once, and I think the shopping area there is called Gunwolf Quay. Stay away from that, Tim. You see some rare breeds around there, mate. Stay well away from Gunwolf Quay and all the outlets.
Immerse yourself in some culture. Go to the boozer, don't it? Go to the boozer. Get up and have a coffee, right? Start off sensibly. Don't go straight to the boozer. Get up, have a coffee, have a croissant. Be cultural. Be smart.
Get
be
the
smart
papers
and careful. Coffee, croissant, then about 12 o'clock, straight in the boozer, mate. Get a good pint of Stella in you, have a sit down, watch the football, get a few bets on, arrange what's going to happen that night with the lads, get yourself out, Ruby, a few more beers, get up Sunday league football, Sunday afternoon, then try and do something with the family. That's my advice.
Yeah, yeah. So you've left them a pocket of 3 hours for the family?
Yeah, Sunday after. I'd maybe do a bit of cooking, make a roast on Sunday afternoon to make up for the lack of time you spent with your family over the weekend. Yeah. Assuming Tim's got a family, he might be a single lad.
Yeah.
If he's got a single lad, he can do that without any pressure.
If you are, Tim, I'm free. Just hit me up.
Also, the other alternative is, which I think rolls on to the next question from, who is it from, Alf?
Moet, from Barkin.
Right, what's his question?
lads, is it acceptable to play indoor cricket during the off-season?
Phil, what do you think of indoor cricket, mate?
It's the fucking biggest waste of time I've ever seen.
It is, isn't it?
I was never a big fan of the old indoor cricket.
Yeah, mate. If you absolutely cream one off the middle, set off and then get run out. What's the point in that? I've just covered it and been run out.
It's not hit and run, Phil.
Yeah, I think the basis is that you've got to try and find the gaps, Phil.
I'm on about if you cream one in the gap, it bounces off the wall and somebody runs you out when you're taking the single.
You've got to hit it straight. You've got to hit that back wall. Is it still the same sort of rules that apply up north?
There's two separate indoor cricket rules, isn't there? There's the narrow net one and there's the wide one.
Cage cricket. There's
the cage
one. Me and Alf played that to a decent level a few years ago. National League, mate. National League.
On a Tuesday night at Canary Wharf.
National League, mate. We went up to Derbyshire, didn't we? Played in the league.
Yeah, and we got fucking smashed.
We did, mate, yeah. We were out of our depth. But, I was never a big fan of indoor cricket. The, 8:45 starts.
Oh, mate.
Do you know what I mean? The whole process, even though it was only an hour long, me standing there trying to run my way to 25, and it just never sat well with me, really.
Why is that, Bill?
Well, I'll tell you a funny story, actually. I don't know what's more embarrassing, actually, the way that the story panned out or the fact that I agreed to play Sunday indoor cricket on a Sunday evening. It was for one of the older fellas in the club. He had a side, an indoor cricket side on a Sunday evening. Played in a school sports hall and playing against this one particular village outfit. We were batting first. I was struggling, trying to cream every ball straight down the ground to the back net to save me running. Anyway, this shit spinner come on, and I've run down the wicket, missed it completely, and I thought, sweet, I'm out. Carried on walking. I didn't hear the clatter of the bales come from the keeper, and I turned round, and the keeper's looked at me, he's gone, where you going, mate? We're keeping you in, son. So he thought I was that shit, but he would not take the bales off. Kept me in.
You were that bad, they wanted to keep you in?
Supposedly, yeah. I mean, so I had to do the equivalent of the walker shit. I was literally halfway back to the door. And we going, mate. The echo as well.
You had to walk back.
The echo in the sports hall. We going, mate. We're keeping you in, son.
We've last night.
Actually, I think he might have fellered me off, actually. So we're keeping you in, fella.
I would have waited till you just got nearly back and walked him off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just started limping and pulled up retired hurt bill, to be honest, at that stage. I don't think I can make it, lads. I don't think I can make
it. Well, I made him pay, didn't I?
Well, Moet, I hope
I made him pay. I got 9 not out.
Did you win the game?
No.
You had to walk back to the crease with your heels in your hand in last night's clothing. So is it acceptable?
What's play indoor cricket?
Yeah.
No.
I think it's for sex offenders.
I never enjoyed
it. I don't know Mohit, but
I'm not saying you're a sex offender, Mohit. I'm just saying that...
I think it's more to do with the 8:45 start as to why I didn't enjoy it now. Just it's all flooding back
to
me.
Yeah, but if you...
I can remember. It was an early start. And if you've
Everyone stunk a booze, didn't they?
But 8:45 start is the only way it's going to fit into your schedule, Phil. I mean, you play cricket at 8:45. You got croissant and coffee at 10:30. You got your hackers at 11.
If you played indoor cricket at lunchtime, you could go to the pub afterwards with the boys, couldn't you?
In your whites.
Do you wear whites for it? I can't remember.
Yeah. Don't just rock up in your garms, Phil.
My God. Could you imagine people walking past the leisure centre and seeing people coming out of there in whites?
That's what I'm saying, Phil. You know.
I can imagine, mate.
Another story talking about walking out in public in your whites. We were playing a game on a Sunday, and
a lot of Sunday cricket, Bill.
Back in the day, this was back in the day. I got mopped up again by a villager, and I was so annoyed that I walked out of the ground in my pads and my spikes and went to the petrol station. It was about 10 minute walk, and just got myself some chocolates, some crisps, and. And a Coke in me spikes and me pads. Fire pad, box, the lot. I took my gloves off and left me back there.
Did you watch The Notebook and cry at the end of it?
I was still angry, to be fair. Still angry.
Are you still angry about it now, Bill?
Actually, I can take the piss out of myself now.
That's just sparked a memory. What about the League Cup final, Bill, when you were part of the 13 and you... that was another
one. I tell you, not only was I part of the 13, I was told the night before... I was an integral part of this team, yeah. I was told the morning that I was going to keep wicket as well. And then come the toss, said I wasn't a good enough fielder and that I'm going to be left out.
But the captain didn't even tell you, did he?
No, he left it to the vice-captain.
So what did you go and do?
I went McDonald's. I went McDonald's with the other fella who's left out, actually. And then supported the other team. And they won.
Well, Moet, I hope that we've answered your question. Don't play indoor cricket, mate.
Don't do it.
There are better things to do with your Saturdays and Sunday mornings.
I feel like Sunday we kind of should be supporting cricket, though, and saying go and play it, but it is
That's
shit.
Not proper cricket.
You shouldn't play in the summer, let alone the fucking winter, mate.
It definitely doesn't help any part of your game, does it, really?
Well, exactly. I mean, I'd like to think I was an half-decent player. When I'm getting mugged off by some village wicketkeeper and fellered off, that just goes to show the mentality of
it. But at least you've forgotten about it and you don't hold a grudge.
I like to relive
these
moments, mate, for the benefit of others.
No, you're right. Right, that's it, guys. Another week done. Next week we've got... what have we got this... Oh, it starts on Thursday,
Friday.
Doesn't it? Friday.
Starts on...
Friday. It starts Thursday.
Does it?
Yeah. Anyway, the Ashes are gone. But we'll be here next week to pick the bones out of it. Look forward to New Zealand. Hopefully Phil has, I don't know, some sort of crazy night on Saturday.
End of season do, is it this week, Phil?
End of season do Saturday, but I'm away on holiday Tuesday. Obviously, I've booked my holiday outside of the cricket season because I'm committed. So I'll be looking forward to my holiday. If we do the podcast on Monday morning when I'm off, I'll be...
Where are you going on holiday, Phil?
Gran Canaria, mate. All-inclusive, one week.
Can't you take the kit with you? We can do a no time difference, mate. We can do it Monday morning or in the week in your own.
No, I'm going Tuesday. I'm going early hours of Tuesday morning. So Monday morning, I'll be ready. I'll have fresh in my head the end of season do. Which, by the way, I don't think there is going to be much of one because the first team are down to going down to London, aren't they, to prepare for the final?
Also, it could be an even bigger one.
I don't think Alf, honestly, they're taking it that seriously.
No, after that, after they win that.
Oh, yeah, if they win it. Yeah, of course it will be. They'll be out in London until next week, probably.
What are you wearing, Phil, Saturday?
Clobber?
Yeah.
Well, I went in a full tracksuit this Saturday just to for comfort, really. Hugo Boss won though, Bill, so I got mugged off for that. I had to go and get changed.
You've gone for the Eastern European builder look.
Yeah,
I bet you wore a pair of Hugo Boss trainers as well, didn't you?
No, Lonsdale. Just jeans and a t-shirt, mate. I'll be taking it easy. Went to watch the Sunday League football on Sunday and ended up having a few.
Sunday.
And had a beer and ended up getting in at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And the missus weren't very happy. So
just in time for a curry.
I'm on a tight leash.
Yeah, you got sore out. Didn't you saw her out on Saturday morning?
I'm going to have to behave myself, mate.
Part of your routine, sort the missus out.
Yeah, well, I mean, it depends on how you define that, really, Bill. But to me, that is just
your words, mate, not mine.
Appeaser, you know, make her happy that you're going to spend some time, constructive time, focusing on your relationship that weekend and not just going to the pub.
There you go. Two tickets for Kew Gardens, mate.
There you go. Hey, cinema, popcorn, ice cream, job done.
Cinnamon. Right, on that note, Phil, we'll see you. If we don't see you next week, have a nice holiday.
I'll be here Monday. I'll see you. I'll be on Monday.
All right, mate.
Lovely.
Nice one.
Take it easy.
See you later.
Cheers, guys.